Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Father, we bless you tonight. Unto you shall the gathering of the people be. Thank you for your goodness. Goodness. All right, the Bible says something very important, that all that Christ has done for you, all that he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, there is nothing God gave you that is not found in Jesus. Everything is found in him. The Bible says, how much more shall he not with him freely give us all things? So I'm going to spend some time to teach tonight, and then we'll pray. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. I want to show you a scripture there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. It says, he that spared, let's read it together. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So I want to say this together. Say, he has given me all things. Now stay with me. Say, I have all things. All things you have are in Christ Jesus. You have been given all things in Christ. Now, if all things have been given to you in Christ, how do you receive all things? One of the ways you receive all things is by rejoicing. One of the ways you receive all things is by rejoicing. So rejoicing is a tool to draw in all that Christ has done for you. That's number one. And number two, rejoicing is also a defense. Because when you rejoice in the Lord, there is a very strong possibility that that rejoicing brings you out of tribulation and temptations. So the believer is commanded to rejoice. So we learn in this church how to rejoice, and I teach you not to rejoice religiously, but I teach you as an act of faith that in your rejoicing, you are able to condition your spirit so your spirit leads your mind. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like a time to rejoice. Paul said to the Philippian church, again I say unto you, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again I say unto you, rejoice. So rejoicing is important as a believer. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, that with joy, you what? You draw from the wells of salvation. That's what the scripture says. Therefore, with joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. So you come for a Holy Ghost meeting like this tonight. One of the things you must activate is joy. All right? So you will find out that sometimes when it's time to receive in a meeting, that's when your mind is going in different directions. Because the devil knows that if I can distract you, I can stop you from taking. So we are in the service tonight. We would be spiritually intelligent to know that it's a time to receive. Because God has told me many things are going to shift for you this year. That's what I see clearly in my spirit, all right? So he says, you rejoice, you rejoice, you rejoice. You know, when the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He says, you praise the Lord with all that is within you. Let everything that has breath. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So blessing the Lord and all that is within you, blessing the Lord is everything that you know you are in Christ. Blessing the Lord. It's the future. It's your future. The part of you that has not been revealed yet, blessing the Lord. The you who has gotten the answer, blessing the Lord. The you who is walking in a new dimension, blessing the Lord. The you who is in favor, blessing the Lord. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let me show you one more scripture. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 1. I feel the need to start with this. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 1. He says, sing. Let's read it together. I like if we read it together. One, two, go. Sing, O barren, you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. So the Bible instructs you to sing. The Bible did not say be in the choir. The Bible says sing. So you don't have to be in Audacity. You don't have to be in the choir to sing. With your wonderful voice, with your unwonderful voice, with your anyhow voice, just make sure you sing. Because the Lord you are singing to knows why he says sing. So he says sing. Who is he telling to sing? It's not a trick question. You know, it's on the blackboard. It's on the screen. So who is the Bible instructing to sing? I can't hear us. So those who are barren. Now, before you exclude yourself from barren, because when you think barren now, you think about a woman who is meant to be pregnant but is not pregnant. Barren means that there is something you are meant to give birth to in 2024 that has not yet surfaced. So he says, sing, O barren. Who has expectations here tonight? Am I talking to people here? Okay, so if you have expectations, say, I have expectations. So the Bible now says, you sing, O barren, and you what? You break forth into singing. So when he says, when he uses the word break forth, it means probably there is something stopping you from expressing. So when you come to church and your expression is limited, when you are not speaking, you are being limited. So one of the ways you receive in church is that your mouth is open. Am I talking to people here? Okay, I didn't ask you, how was your day? Let's start from there. How was your day? How are you? You know, we don't have a bad day in Christ. There's never a bad day for the believer. There's never, never, never a bad day. Never a bad day. All right, this is the day the Lord has what? Actually, this is the day the Lord has made is the topic of my message. But I'll go to it very soon. So you don't have a bad day as a Christian. All right? So I want you to bring yourself to knowing who you are in Christ and take all that is yours. So we say sing and break forth. So you know what I want you to do right now? Whether you are sitting, whether you want to stand, you will break forth. You will break forth into singing. Then he goes on to say, you will cry. Help me now. First of all, you break forth into singing. And then the second thing you what? You cry aloud. It means you must not hold back. So this night, you won't hold back. Say with me, say, I won't hold back. Everything God has planned for me will come out. Everything I'm meant to deliver will see the light of day. Am I talking to people right now? All right. So the Bible says you break forth into singing, you cry aloud, you who have not born with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. More are for those who sing and break out. So you know what we're going to do right now while you're sitting there, just break forth into joy. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Now let me tell you something. Satan doesn't like this. He tries to engage your reasoning so that intelligent people will come to this meeting now and say, why are they shouting? Why are they trying to psych themselves? Why are they trying to stir up themselves? We're not trying to stir up ourselves. We are being spiritually intelligent. You see, so sometimes what you do, your mind doesn't agree with it, but you understand why you're doing what you're doing. All right? So we're going to partner in rejoicing tonight. So I hope your neighbor is not going to be a dulling neighbor. Ask your neighbor, are you the one pastor is talking about? All right, so look for a neighbor right now and rejoice with that neighbor right now.
break out, 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 break out. Now look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. You see, the Bible says in John that when Jesus, he rejoiced in the Spirit. All right? That's agaleo. So Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. So we're going to leap for joy. Are you getting what? There are many kinds of joy. We're going to leap for joy. Some of you are too heavy. The air you ate before you came has to go. So right now, go ahead and leap for joy. Leap for joy. Leap for joy. Leap. Glory. 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 Uh-huh. Glory, 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 glory. You don't shout for victory. You shout from victory. So one more time. Let's shout from victory in this house. One more time. Let your spirit agree with you. Let your spirit agree with you. Let your spirit agree with you. Give your neighbor a high five. Tell him this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. No dolly moments. No sad moments. No unpleasant moments. I live in joy. I walk in joy. Everlasting joy is on my head. I don't have mood swings. I don't do mood swings. I walk in joy. I walk in celebration. I walk in rejoicing. Again, 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 again. Again, 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 rejoice. Again, rejoice. Again, rejoice. Hallelujah. Now, before you sit down, you go to four people and tell them, it's your year of walking in light and dominion. Now you tell yourself, it's my year of walking in light and dominion. I'll see you on top in 2024. Now sit down. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. You know, some people just wake up in the morning and choose to frown. They just choose to be unhappy. What is the matter? You just wake up in the morning because you feel you'll be taken more seriously when your face is straight. Jesus loves babies. He loves those who take the things of God as simple as they are. Praise God. I love the way James puts it. He says, count it all joy. Help me with my volume. Count it all joy when you what? Fall into diverse. He says, count it all joy, knowing that the trial of your faith works out what? Patience. So we count things joy. Glory to God. Luke chapter 4. Let's start our journey. Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, you remember this place? This was the place where Jesus came, and he was at the temple. The minister gave him a scroll to read, and he began to read the scroll. Now, the people who gave Jesus, still help me a bit, the people who gave Jesus the scroll did not give Jesus to read the scroll by his initiative. In other words, what Jesus read was what was handed over to him. Are you with me? So, they gave Jesus something to read. He didn't say, I'm led by the Spirit to open where I want to read. They gave him where to read. So the moment he opened the scroll, the Bible says, the next verse, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted,
to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. In the next verse, let's read this together. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then see the next verse. Then he closed the book. Jesus is stubborn. He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. The next verse. Look at the next verse. See what happened. Verse 21. And he began to say to them, Today is the scripture. What it means is, what I just read to you now, today it is happening live. You know that in the scripture, everybody prophesied about Jesus. When Jesus came, nobody knew he was the one. So he came in disguise. That's why the Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not, because they did not recognize him. How can Messiah be born in a manger? Insult to my religion. My Messiah is supposed to ride on horses. That's why one of the temptations of Satan is that he told Jesus to climb to the top pinnacle and he should jump down. He says, he backs it up with the scripture. Don't you know that the angels will give you charge? Or he will give his angels charge over you. So the idea is that when Jesus flies or he jumps down, he would fly like a Superman. That was what Satan wanted him to do. Oh, go and read the Bible. That, don't you know, when you jump, the scripture says that his angels will take charge over you. So Jesus was intended by Satan to jump and appear like Superman, so that people will look at him and say, Kai, this is Messiah. But Jesus said, no praises, no glory without cross. It has to be cross first. So that's why they did not recognize our Jesus. But he announced in the temple, and he said, today is the scripture fulfilled. It means I am the person they prophesied about. And what is the scripture fulfilled? It says that to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Come on, amen. It means that the acceptable year of the Lord had come. There was a day of the Lord. So what is the title of my message? Title of my message is the day of the Lord. I would explain that scripture to you. It's the day of the Lord. If you want to call it the acceptable year of the Lord, that's fine. If you also want to call it Kairos time, it's okay. So I'll talk about Kairos time a bit. But the topic is the acceptable year of the Lord, or the day of the Lord. Tell you about the day of the Lord. Now, when we grew up, we always said that scripture, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. So I would explain what that day is. So Jesus now says, today is the acceptable year of the Lord fulfilled. Psalms chapter 118, verse 19. Psalms chapter 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. Next verse. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. Are you reading with me? Now it says, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Whose story is this tonight? I will praise him because he has answered me and he has become my salvation. Someone in the Old Testament don't talk like this. David must be a prophet to know that when you are dealing with God, is in the past tense. I will praise you because you have answered me and have become my salvation. I want you to follow what David is saying here in Psalms 118. Then he goes on to say, the stone which the builders rejected has become what? The chief cornerstone. I want you to see something here that David does. David speaks of gate in verse 19. Then he goes to salvation. And from salvation, he now goes to stone. Okay, let's look at it again. Go back to verse 19. I think I lost you there. Open to me the gates. So David is quoting scripture and is looking as if gate is like gate. Let me use Kingsley and Minister Gift, come. The way the two of you are coming, both of you don't match, but still come. One is low, I will be with you. And the other one is he's exalted high above the heavens. No, so you stand here and another stand here. You stand here, face me. Come forward, come, just come forward. So David now says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. So David says that if this gate, so stand like this. So he now says, open to me, say open. Open your mouth to say open.
Open.
Yeah. He says, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. So David speaks of gate first. Then look at verse 20. This is the gate of the Lord. He's now trying to define what who the... I just gave it away. He's trying to define who the gate is. So he says, this is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. No man shall come to the Father except through me. So David, he's talking about gates, but he's prophesying about a person. Then look at verse 21. He now says, I will praise you, for you have answered me and become. So he's now saying that this gate is a salvation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Next verse, verse 22. Verse 20. The stone which the builders rejected has become. So he's talking gates. He's talking open the gate. He's now talking salvation. And he's now talking stone. And all of this is one person. He now says the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The story is not over. Keep reading. Next verse. This was the Lord's doing. He didn't say this is the Lord's doing. He said, this was the Lord's doing. You know, you need to be like David sometimes, who knows how to speak as though something has happened. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So when, if you are talking like David, for example, you will talk like this. For example, you don't have money in your pocket. This was my story, that the Lord brought me into abundance. That's how you talk. This was my story, that my body was healed the moment I received of the Lord. You talk in past tense. The wisdom of David, oh David, Old Testament. Follow me. Next verse, verse 24. This, read it now. The Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Are you seeing what I'm saying now? Now, in this verse 24, the word day is the word yom. Somebody say yom. Preach with me now. Look at your neighbor, say yom. I didn't say yummy, yummy, yummy. Say yom. Only one yom. Amen. Now, the word yom is the word a dispensation. So, day is not 24 hours. No, 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 no. Day is actually talking about a dispensation of time. So another word for day is the word age. Another word for day is the word season. So the way you can read the scripture, this is the age the Lord has made. We will rejoice and what? And be glad in it. So you know what you do? Rejoice while you're sitting down. Just rejoice. So David was talking about a day. And that day was a dispensation of the grace of God. So he wasn't talking about 24 hours. You wake up in the morning, you sleep at night, 24-hour period has passed. That's day. No, he was talking about a period of time where people will be in that day. You know what Jesus said to the disciples? He says that the day is now. That's why when I can work, the hour comes when no man can work, which is the evening. So the evening of dispensation is when the dispensation of grace is over. So right now, you and I are in the dispensation of grace. So when we say this is the day the Lord has made, we are saying from the day Jesus died. Hey. From the day Jesus died till today, it is one day. For a day in the sight of the Lord is like if. Are you reading with me now? So it's like 1,000 years, just one day. So in the dispensation of God, we are in a day. So from the time of Peter, the apostle, the time of Paul, the apostle, from the time Jesus died, the early church in Antioch, in Ephesus, we are still experiencing a day. And we are in the day of the dispensation of the grace of God. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, my gates still stay. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Let me show you something there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, for he says in an acceptable time, I have heard you. Are you with me now? And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now, oh my God. Enoch, Elijah, Joshua, Daniel can't boast on the day you are in because they were before the cross. You and I can boast of the day because we are after the cross. So he now says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. It means, you know, they had God to hear me. When I pray in the dispensation of the grace of God, he hears me. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. So let me give you your description. You are the man or you are the woman who God has helped. In 2024, you are the person God has helped. When you are telling your story will be, I am the one, now God help me. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would you and I have been? But I thank God because he helped me. He rescued me from the dungeon. He lifted me from the miry clay. And he set my feet on the rock to stay. If you are helped by God, say, yes, I am. So now is the day of the accepted time. Behold, now is the day. So it's specific of what happens in that day. He now tells you that that day is a day of what? Salvation. Are you following me? This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me see the NIV version. The NIV version is a bit simpler. Yeah. It says, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. Can we say that phrase together? In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. So it means that in the time of favor, God hears you. And in the day of salvation, he helps you. The word time there is the word kairos. 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 It means an opportune time. It means a privileged time. It means a time of favor. Now, there are two words, time, in the Bible. The first one is chronos. Chronos speaks of the passing of time. That's why you have your watch called the chronometer, because it measures the passing of time. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August to December. That is chronos. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's chronos. But kairos is in between chronos. of a particular time where there is a special favor for a purpose. So when you say someone has entered a Kairos moment, he's saying in the passing of time, there is an opportunity that has matched a preparation. Hey, there is an opportune time that has surfaced for you. So when I was praying for today's meeting, the Lord said to me, says, tell my people that in 2024, there will be a lot of Kairos moments. Your amen is a reflection that you don't even believe what you are saying. There'll be a lot of Kairos moments. Are you listening to what I'm saying now? So, if you look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, word. Now, this day or time is a season of favor. Can we say that together? This day, pastor is talking about, is a season. You stop saying after me. Say, this day, pastor is talking about, is a season of favor. Now, there are two kinds of favor. There is positional favor and there is experiential favor. So positional favor is the favor you have in Christ. That you have come into a day after the death of Christ, which is disposed to favor you. And let me explain further what this day is. Now, let's keep going. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Let me show you something there. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Are you learning something tonight? Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Next verse. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Next verse. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Now, this rest is the day. Are you with me now? This rest is the day. So he says the criteria for entering this day is faith, is belief. So when you have faith in Christ, you are in the day. Am I talking to someone? If you are born again, I am in the day. If you are not born again, you are not yet in the day. You are still in the darkness. That's why the Bible says that he has translated you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The Bible did not say he has translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. No. He says he has translated you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness, because Satan's domain is not a kingdom. Because to be a kingdom, there must be a king. And Satan is not a king. Because on the cross of Calvary, he was dethroned by Jesus. Are you with me, somebody? Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. So one of the benefits of the believer, he says that you have been raised together with him. And you are seated together with him. That's why I don't get Christians who are afraid of witches. Tell your neighbor, say, is pastor talking about you? You the fear witch. There was a joke of someone who was plowing a canoe in the middle of the night. Pastor Victor, you remember that? Where's Pastor Victor? Pastor Victor, you come and sit down. Come and sit down. Come and sit down. So that I can mock you well. I'm just playing. There was a day me and Pastor Victor were traveling to Taraba. That journey did not end though. We left in the morning. This Pastor Victor, what year was that? Do you remember the year? That thing is like in the 90s. Oh. We were not yet in 2000. Oh. Maybe 99 or 2000. Oh, early 2000, 2001. 2000, thereabout. We went to preach somewhere in Taraba. And there was a river that our vehicle had to go on. So our car needed boat to get to its destination. So it was about 8 in the night. Journey never finished. By 8:30, we had loaded. They had loaded us and the car on the ferry. Ferry was going in the middle of the night. And the thing spoiled. Me and Pastor Victor, we slept on waters.
Have you seen a pastor who walks on water before? Labor your day. We slept on the water. We woke up the next morning. Thank God the program was the next day. It was wisdom to travel a day before. So we slept on the water. It was about 5 a.m. in the morning. I opened my eyes and I saw something like grass. No, not grass, like a creature. But when it came close, I realized it was grass. But it was like a creature. It was approaching us. I just told myself, I said, first of all, if I die today, it's because of the gospel. But I shall not die, but live to declare the glory of God. So that's how we saw the thing, though. See, fear. People who are going to preach, oh, my mind was beating like this. So when I now saw it clearly, I saw that it was grass. You know those grasses that just lay on water. You know, clarity brings peace. Clarity, it brings peace. When you know who Satan is, you won't be afraid of him. The Bible says he destroyed him that had the power of darkness. It means Satan used to have. I get him before, not be property. Minister Felix, hold this. Now, he has the handkerchief. If I collect it from him, he doesn't have it again. So Satan used to have the power of darkness. But when Jesus died, he doesn't have the power of darkness, the power of God anymore. He doesn't have power anymore. He destroyed him that had the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. So we're not afraid. So those of you who are afraid of witches, graduate. Graduate to your new status of who you are in Christ. Say with me, say, I know who I am in Christ. Now look at your neighbor, say, the pastor is talking about you. Yes. So you know there are some people who, you see them, so there was a guy who was giving a joke. He said that in the middle of the ferry, they were singing this song. They were all going on evangelism, crusade. You know, evangelism campaign for Jesus. In fact, the boss that brought them had label of their mission. Youth on a mission. Then there's a logo of fire by the side of it. Then the people in the bus came down, entered the ferry, going to do evangelism in the village. And they started singing, Jesus power, superpower. Jesus power, superpower. Don't clap, don't turn this church into another. Jesus power, superpower. Then when they now got to the mommy water power, so somebody who was very zealous raised that part of the song. And the leader kept him quiet. He said, don't focus on Jesus. Leave the mommy water alone. If I want the guy to sing, mommy water power. All of them. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We are the people who are victorious in this house. Lift your hands and say, I am above principalities and powers. Don't let anything intimidate your standing in God. Don't allow it. How did I even get here? I don't even know. We were reading Hebrews chapter 4, right? Go back to that Hebrews chapter 4. Because we have to pray. We're going to pray. Hebrews chapter 4. What verse did we stop? We stopped at verse. If I just go to verse 8, I want to show you something. Hebrews 4 verse 8. It says, for if Joshua, let's read it together. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. This word day keeps coming back. And the rest is saying, if you've listened to my messages, I've taught on different kinds of rest. There is creation rest. God rested on the seventh day. But there is also Canaan rest, where Joshua took the Israelites to Canaan. But God is saying through the writer of Hebrews that if that rest Joshua took them to Canaan was sufficient, then God would not have said there was another day. He would not have said that there was another rest to encounter if Canaan is the ultimate.
So he now explains further by, go to verse 9. He explains further by saying that the rest, he says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, meaning that you have come into that rest. It's a positional rest. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have what? Become new. So you are in the rest of God. You are not in the place where you struggle and you live by your works and efforts alone. So he says you have pressed into that. And this is the future thinking of David and people like Abraham. Oh my God. This is why we rejoice. So when we said this is the day the Lord has made, you now know what it means. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know it's the day of salvation. You now understand it. You know it's beyond 24 hours. Zephaniah. If you don't know where Zephaniah is, just look at the screen. Zephaniah 3:14. Some of you have never opened Zephaniah in your life. You know, in those days when we were young Christians, we just like to be deep. So we would call scriptures or books that we know nobody has opened before. In the book of Nahum. Just to sound deep. But you know what deep is? Deep is when you are able to bring Christ out of the scripture. That's what deep is. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what makes you deep. So Zephaniah 3. He now says, sing. We're back to this sing matter. He says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Now, you know Zion is for the people who are of the day. We have come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. So he says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. He says, should I give you space to shout? 10 seconds? Shout. Then he goes on to say, be glad and rejoice. These are the characteristics of the day. So if you are born again, one of the things we see is you will always be a singing person. You are always a be gladding person. Your life is just to be glad. You know what? I was talking to some people and I told them, if you allow depression, you see that thing where you wake up in the morning and you just feel sad and you encourage it by staying sad. And in fact, some of you go further to look for reasons why you are sad. Then you now call it introspection. Devil does not play fair. Because when you stay in that place, he takes advantage of that spirit of depression. And before you know it, he graduates. From nowhere, somebody will just begin to think about how to kill himself. And you're wondering, how did he start? The characteristics of the day is that we are glad people. And you know, we are glad not because the circumstances make us glad. We are glad because it's coming from inside. It's the characteristics of the day. And rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Next verse, keep going. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. Can I prophesy to someone here? Nobody in this place will see disaster. If your amen is louder, it's your experience. I said nobody here will see disaster. There shall be no losses in your house. There shall be no calamity in your house. In 2024, you will not see calamity. You will not dash your foot against the stone. I decree and prophesy over you. Nobody will die in your house. You will live and declare the glory of God. If you are the one I'm talking about, shout amen, somebody. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. Next verse. Keep going, keep going. In that day, again, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear,
Zion. Let not your hands be weak. Next verse. Come on, amen. He says, in that day will be said of you, don't be afraid. All right, can I speak to somebody who is living in fear? God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he's given you the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, I drive out fear from here. I command the spirit of fear to get out. You will march in 2024 with boldness, with confidence. You shall not be afraid. I don't know if you are the one I'm talking. I say you will not be afraid. The Lord your God in the midst, the mighty one will save. Use the King James. Oof. I like the way the proper King James says it. In this same verse 17. Keep going. Let's stay on verse 17. Use the King James. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. So God is mighty to save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. Next verse. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Next verse. Behold, at the time I will undo all that afflict thee. Who is taking the words that I'm prophesying? And I will save her that halteth. I will gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. God says the place where you are put to shame, it's that same place your glory is coming out. And I'm hearing there is an exchange in my spirit. You are putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If that's your word, say that's my word. Can I tell you the benefit of this day? John chapter 16. Ooh, we got to close so we can pray. John chapter 16, verse 21. John chapter 16, verse 21. Ooh, John chapter 16, verse 21. John 16, verse 21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Help my volume. Next verse. Therefore, somebody said, therefore. I can hear you. Say, therefore. It says, therefore, you will have no sorrow, but I will see you again. Jesus was about to die, and then he was talking to his disciples. He says, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, your joy nobody will take from you. Now tell your neighbor, say, my joy nobody will take from me. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Runo, go ahead. He says, my joy, what? Nobody, what? Don't allow anybody to take your joy in 2024. You know what I told people in the house? I told them, I said, don't blame anybody in 2024. It's an irresponsible behavior to blame people. Don't blame anybody. Take responsibility. Make things work. Because you have all that is in Christ. Nobody will take my joy. Say that with me. Say, nobody will take my joy in 2024. Nobody will take my joy in 2024. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let's keep reading. Oof. And in... I thought you would read with me. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. When? In that day. You have come to that day. Now, whatever you are asking for from God, he's about to release it upon your life. I don't know if you say amen to this, but God is about to give you everything you ask for. God is about to pour on your life everything you demand for. God is about to give you that your joy may be full. Next verse, verse 24. Ooh, until now, that means until that day, you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. And the Bible says you ask in the name of the Lord. To ask in the name of the Lord does not mean to say the name Jesus in the prayer. It means you are asking and God sees you as if it's Jesus asking. God looks at you and he tells himself, this is my son who is asking. Somebody say, in that day, I will ask.
and my joy will be full. I said I will ask and my joy will be full.
Hey, sit down, we'll soon close. Sit down, we'll soon close. Bo-re-ge-bye.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. If your life is all about skill, strength, money, wealth, ability, it means there is a limitation you have not broken out of. Because there's a part of God that only the grace of God can do. So you need his strength on top of your strength. You need his grace on top of your skill. We're going to press into something tonight. The word time in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 9 verse 11 is the word F. It means favor time. The opportune time is the same word as kairos. You see that now? So it says the time and chance happens to them all. The word happen is the word kara. Kara. So time is F. It means right time. Opportune time. The word happen, which is kara, if you bring those two phrases together, it means right happenings. That if you're going to now, I've moved to the experiential part of favor, because we have done the positional part of favor where you are in Christ and you have come into the mercies of God. Now the experiential part of favor is where God begins to show favor in your daily life. Are you following me now? So he says that right happenings will come to you. Hey. So if you combine those two words, it says the time and chance happens to you. It means right happenings are orchestrated by God. It means that you are in the right place at the right time. It means that you are with the right people at the right time. Have you ever heard Paul pray this prayer? May the Lord deliver you from wicked and unreasonable men. Have you seen that prayer in the Bible? That prayer is not a joke, because one person can waste your life. One person can just mess your time up. But you know what? In this year, you will not waste your time. I'm speaking to February, March, April, May, June, July. You will not meet people who will waste your time in your family, in your business, in your vocation, in your ministry. Nobody will waste your time. Wave your hands and shout hallelujah, somebody. There's a principle called the principle of first mention in the Bible. First mention in the Bible is the place where a word is first mentioned in the Bible. And if you look at the word earth, the word time, there's a place where it was mentioned, and that's in Genesis chapter 8, verse 11. Let me paint you the story. Noah was in the ark. So he sends a dove out of the ark after the flood had abated. He sends a dove to see if the waters had receded. And the Bible says the first time that the dove came back. So he waited for 7 days. After 7 days, he sends the dove again. And the scripture says in Genesis 8:11 that then the dove came to him in the evening. And behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded. Are you with me, somebody? Now, if you remember this part, it shows you where God had destroyed the world with water. That was the judgment of God. But when the dove brought back a leaf, I checked the word evening in this scripture. And funny enough, the word evening is the word time. It's the same word earth. It means that the dove came to him in the appointed time, kairos time. It means that a dove brought a new dispensation to Noah. Oh, I wish somebody with a redemption mind is catching where I'm going. That there was judgment in the past, and a dove brings a leaf of olive in the evening or at a time, which speaks of the fact that this time we're talking about is post-judgment time. It means it's the time where judgment is not the case anymore. So your judgment is in your past. I don't know how else to put it to you, but the believer cannot be judged. The only judgment the believer faces is the judgment of good works. The unbeliever's judgment and Satan's judgment is in the future. That's why the Bible says that the prince of this world will be judged. But for the believer, we have escaped judgment. So God destroys the earth with water, and then the dove brings a leaf saying that I'm ushering you a new time and a new dispensation. We are in that day where judgment has passed over us. No wonder the Bible says, if I see the blood, I will pass over. Now, it's not because you are too good. It's not because you are handsome, you are beautiful, you are fine. But there are just some things that escape you. You will not cry the tears of other people. 1,000 will fall by your side and 10,000 by the other, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. What am I saying? I'm saying to you that the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. This dove is in divine favor. It leads us to the right place at the right time. So in 2024, you'll be led to the right place at the right time. And that leading is going to come by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Are you with me, somebody? And in the ark, where at the right time, the people were under divine protection. There was wind coming from the left, from the right, but the people in the ark were safe. So if you are in Christ, you are safe. If you are in Christ, you are protected, because you are in Kairos time. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen to me. Some of you will just be led on what to do. Did you know that God did not tell David to kill Goliath? Think with me. David got to the scene. And he saw, Kingsley, you'll be Goliath now. He saw Goliath. Prophet had anointed David though, and went his way. Then David was doing his business. David got to the battle scene, and out of his mouth just came, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defiling the army of God? Now, who goes that man? I like that one. Who goes that man? You know, we need to write our own Bible. Yes, I think it would be sweeter if we use Port Harcourt English. Who wither you? You know, wither you means behold. How is this going to work? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Abobi. Whither are you? All things are passed away. All things are. David saw this guy, and something in him knew this action should lead to destiny. You know, sometimes when you are led by the Spirit of God, you don't know you are being led. Because you may not hear an express word saying, my son, Bolan le 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 le. You may not, God help me from Bolanle. You may not hear that express word, but you will just know your action is matching the season. Your action is matching the time. The hand of God is upon you, and you know what to do per season. So some of you came to church. Some of you are just wondering, no job. You're just moving. God, I trust you because things are going to be fine. Things are going to be well. And before you know it, you are just led to do something. Something is plunging. There's a line of business. It won't just leave your mind. You sleep, you see yourself in there. You wake up, it is there. And you don't know when you are just being led. And somehow people are gathered who are in the line of that business around you. It is called holy coincidences, where God orchestrates people and time in your favor. Have you seen that kind of thing before? You know what I said? Somebody is about to march into a holy coincidence. Somebody is about to come into a Kairos time. Somebody is about to come into a Kairos moment.
in January, in February, in March, before the first quarter of the year is over, you will tap into a season that you have never tapped into in all your life. If you're the one, wave your hands and shout hallelujah. God had prophesied that Jesus Christ of Nazareth will be born in Bethlehem. It was a prophecy, if you read scripture. Now, at the time of the birth of Christ, Mary was already due. Jesus was not in Bethlehem. I'm telling you about time. Mary and Joseph were not in Bethlehem. And prophecy was that he would be born in Bethlehem. All of a sudden, from nowhere, God orchestrates a census through Caesar. For the first time, from nowhere, Caesar just gave an announcement. Everybody, come to Bethlehem. So everybody was forced to come to Bethlehem that the scripture might be fulfilled. So there are certain things that must be fulfilled in your life. And you know what I'm about to do? I'm here as a midwife. I will push you into your season. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. If you came here and you don't have expectation, it is okay. I don't even need your expectation. As long as you can hear my words, I'm going to push you into what God has designed for you. You know what God is just saying to me right now? He's saying that even the government can be orchestrated in your favor. That when government policies are made, it is to the favor of the child of God. Sometimes the orchestrations in your office is because of you. They think they are doing it for their benefit, but they don't know there is one brother who is out there. There is one sister who is out there who needs to surface, because thou will arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor Zion, the set time has come. Now let me prophesy over you. Your set time is now. Lift your hands, lift your hands, lift your hands. We're about to close. I decree over your life that your set time has come. I decree over your life that your hour has come. Your season has come. Your Kairos moment has come. Wave your hands and shout yes, somebody. Lift your hands and say, it's me. Pastor is talking about me. Now open your mouth and pray. In the Holy Ghost, God bless you guys. Open your mouth and pray. In the Holy Ghost, somebody's about to push into a new season. January is about to favor you. March will favor you. April will favor you. At the end of December, you will be favored. It is your season. It is your time. Nobody will be left behind. I said nobody will be left behind. Nobody will be left behind. Raise your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost, somebody. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost. God
brought you. This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.